Well, Laura Harding wrote a great piece. That's right. It's published by the Long Island Advocate. And the racism president wrote about the relationship between structural racism and the lack of affordable housing right here on Long Island. The underlying structural racism behind LI's affordable housing crisis, according to Laura. And I want to hear more. And nice enough to join us for a couple here on a Tuesday. First of all, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Jay. Thank you for having me on.
It is great having you. And this is an issue you and I have discussed ad nauseum. And, you know, just when you think you've made strides, you wrote an excellent piece. You highlight a couple of things, and it's almost like we're taking a step backwards here. Give me a sense of what you're looking at here.
I mean, what we're looking at in this article, what I'm talking about is the way that the creation of Long Island in many ways and the way that it was segregated is now causing all of us to pay a price when it comes to affordable housing. And a perfect example of that is the Liberty Gardens affordable housing development in the town of Southampton by Ralph Fasano and Concern Housing. Right. We have a community that needs workforce development, which this development will bring. It also is providing housing for veterans in need of supportive housing. And so this community has relatively, I mean, there are parts of it that aren't always well off, but this community has relatively been able to, and like many communities on Long Island, stay insulated. And now they're being asked to support this housing. And what you hear from them is kind of a, well, we like our veterans, but it's going to do this, it's going to do that. And that's part of what we hear across Long Island when it comes to affordable housing, which isn't always low-income housing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think many people are struggling with, hey, my adult children are living at home with me, sometimes with their spouses. I can't age in place because the house is too big, and if I sell it, I won't have enough money, nor are there affordable places in my community for me to stay. New graduates are leaving Long Island, and we have people here who are work on the island and live off island, and so what happens is they're taking their money with them, and Southampton is one of those places where their workforce can't afford to live there. And so this affordable housing development really provides a place for them and for our veterans who have served us, you know, and served our country. And so we hear things like, well, it's traffic. Well, the traffic is going to be a problem if you keep having a workforce who can't afford to live where they work. Because if you spend any time out east around 4 or 5 o'clock, there's tons of traffic because most of the people who work there are leaving to go home. Hmm. And so this alleviates some of that in some ways. But the resistance has been, certainly from residents, have been really, really tough. And I think that we're seeing that across Long Island, where residents are struggling with how do we address this affordable housing crisis and deal with what it means for our communities. Right?
Yep.
Which is a lot of change that is uncomfortable for everyone. But here's the rub. The way our communities are segregated right now, the way they're created, it didn't happen naturally. It was a combination of the federal government and banks that created it that way. So our communities can definitely take in some affordable housing and also some of the change.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people would agree with you. It's just a matter of where you construct. You know, the governor had a plan. It wasn't a great plan as far as how we are constructed right here on the island, but I think everybody's in agreement. You know, you ask any supervisor of any town, Laura, they'll tell you, yeah, it is a big issue right now. Because as you stated, and we've talked about it forever, keeping the youth here on the island is essential for growth as far as overall economy and everything else. Without it, we're losing. We're losing a battle right now with all the folks that are leaving the state and Long Island.
Yeah.
So we got to do a better job. You know, we got to do a better job. And most importantly, that you mentioned other veterans. We can't take care of our veterans properly. And that is a damn shame. And we got to do a better job overall.
Agreed. And I mean, we also have the Faith-Based Affordable Housing Act that's coming up. It has a bill number in the Senate and the House where we're saying, not the governor, this isn't the governor's plan. These are local faith-based organizations who are saying, look, some of us have land that instead of selling to a storage company or a warehouse, we would love to build, you know, partner with a community-based organization and a reputable developer and build permanently affordable housing that fits into the, you know, that fits into the community and that can serve the community. Not, you know, it's not solely for the congregants of that faith-based organization. And so we really need to get behind something like this. The amount of land is not really a lot when you think about it. The development is not really a lot. They still have to abide by CEQA and environmental laws and building code. And I think one of the things it does is it brings some tax, it brings some taxes on the rolls, and it allows some of these faith-based organizations to stay open because many of them have land that's not being used. And not everyone would, of course, build, but we have to find creative ways that allows the community to benefit and also allows them to help decide in conjunction with community-based organizations what type of affordable housing would go there. When I say affordable, I'm not talking about 120 average median income, which still is unaffordable for most of us. I'm talking about, 80% AMI. Look, they just had an article saying that Long Island teachers are some of the highest paid, right? A lot of them are making over $120,000, but it's still not enough for them to live on the island. I went to a school the other day in Nassau County. I would say 80% of the staff lived in Suffolk. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that traffic is in the morning to come to work and go back and forth? So we really have to do a better job as a community and not be so resistant to things that will help us in many ways.
No doubt about it. And listen, to own a house now with 7.1 on the interest is ridiculous in its own right. You had a little bit of a silver lining a couple of weeks ago almost with a preliminary agreement allowing tenants in some of the many market rate units in New York City, at least, to challenge, you know, a lot of these lease hikes now of more than 10% in housing court, which is a good thing. So, you know, that's a good thing. We got to shine a positive light on some things and build on it, you know, if it aims to boost production of some of these badly needed new and affordable housing in the city, including by lifting this decades old state law that caps the density of buildings in Manhattan. I mean, we just got to do a better job here. And,
let me say this about density, Jay.
Yeah.
I think the city is very different from Long Island.
No question.
And so I think that it's fine in Manhattan to have some of the density. They can take it. I want Long Island to understand that the density here will look different, but it will never be the same as the city, because I think those are some of the fears, right? When you see some of the transit oriented development, the workforce housing that Long Island is going to turn into the city. It is not. We don't build enough to do that. And when you build transit-oriented development, it's right by the Long Island Railroad, by the transportation. So it's not having the same impact as when you go into the communities. I also want to talk about Mineola, Patchogue, Westbury, you know, Farmingdale. These are some of the communities that have really worked not only to revitalize their downtowns, but also to build more affordable housing to be able to address the need as both financially and also for people who are living there. And as the mayor of Mineola said, when people rent in communities, they end up purchasing in communities if they like it. So it's an investment in the future.
No question. And I implore people to read Laura's piece in the Long Island Advocate. Very well done. Without questions, we are at a crisis point in this state, even greater locally. And it must be addressed in a significant way. Thanks for bringing a light onto that even more so. And look forward to future discussions with you on it.
Thank you very much, Jay, and have a great day. Everyone, check out Erase Racism, www.eraseracismny.org, and come to our benefit June 5th at the Garden City Hotel. Have
a
great day.
Nice.
And I hope, yes, you got to come, Jay.
Okay. Well, we'll put that on. Let's check the schedule, put it on the calendar. Jake, you'll check it out for us. And we appreciate that.
5:30 to 8:30. Thank you.
You got it.